and friends. Good morning to everyone. It's time to get in the zone with Bartow Sports Zone, your source for local coach interviews and local sports news, information, and local sports talk. I'm your host, Charles Wilson. I'll be joined today by members of the Bartow Sports Zone Bench Warmers. Alan Sanders has the controls back in the WBHF studios. Jackson Hyde will join us on the Zoom connection. We expect to hear from Brad Stevens and Dave Coleman a little bit later on in the show. And we have a big show for you today. Three guests lined up. First, we'll visit with Allison Rutledge and Andy Burris from Cartersville Little League Baseball as they get ready for their opening day weekend. And then Kyle Sandy will join us for another look at the Georgia High School Association State Basketball Tournament games of the past week and a preview of this weekend's championship games. Then we'll hit on several other topics with our BSC bench warmers. So we hope you'll stick around for the next couple of hours. We are so glad you have joined us this morning and remind you that you can always find us online at bartowsportszone.com. That's where you get your daily dose of local sports news and updates. You can find us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at Bartow Sports Zone, and our free podcast downloads are available wherever you download your podcast. Just search for Bartow Sports Zone Podcast. We're brought to you by Elite Stone Supply, Derek Strange of Edward Jones Investments, St. Angelo's Pizza, and Three Way Campers. And before we bring in our opening guests of the morning, I want to say good morning to fellow BSZ bench warmer, Jackson Hyde. Good morning, Jackson.
Good morning, Coach. Good to be with you this morning. Hopefully we can dodge those raindrops for Cartersville Little League in the morning.
Yeah, we're going to talk about that here in just a moment as we welcome in Allison Rutledge and Andy Burris from Cartersville Little League Baseball. Good morning, ladies and gentlemen.
Good morning.
Good morning, Charles. Thanks for having us.
Yeah, very glad to have you guys here. Welcome to the Zone and Bartow Sports Zone on WBHF. Allison, let's kind of kick this off with you. You've kind of spearheaded this segment with us each of the past several years on Bartow Sports Zone and on WBHF. Tell us a little bit about your role with Cartersville Little League.
I am currently the player agent, so that means I take care of all of the players in our league, make sure that they're treated right, drafted to the right teams, and that they have a fun season.
Outstanding. And Andy, I know you've been busy with teams for the past several years. How has your role grown with Cartersville Little League Baseball?
Yes, sir. So I joined the board of, last year, and I'm the Major League Director this year. And so I kind of manage the Major League managers. And then I also help the Minor League and Rookie League directors as well, help them manage their guys as well. And I'm also coaching one of the teams as well. So it's a busy year.
And that's why I phrased the question the way that I did. I know that you've had multiple roles with Cartersville Little League Baseball. And Allison, back to you for just a second. The history of Cartersville Little League Baseball, I think any of us in my generation that grew up and wanted to have a shot at playing a little baseball, a lot of us, even before there was a Bartow County Little League Baseball, a lot of us went through Cartersville Little League Baseball.
Yes, we are celebrating our 70th season this weekend. So we're really praying that the rain holds off, but it's not looking good for us. But we are excited to celebrate that. And it's cool to see generation after generation come through Cartersville Little League every year, where you're seeing granddads who played in the league. Now you're seeing their grandchildren play in the league this season.
Sure. And it's just been around for a long, long time and a very rich tradition with Cartersville Little League Baseball. I know I saw some updates on social media yesterday. Just share with us a little bit about the schedule of events and locations for this evening and tomorrow. I know you've got some special things that are going on, and you might have to shuffle things around just a little bit.
Yes, tonight is our barbecue dinner night that we will have, and we are trying to make sure that we get our skills competition in, but that is weather pending. So Scott's Barbecue was gracious enough to donate all of the barbecue tonight that is going to feed our families and the community that wants to come out. It'll be held at the Goodyear Clubhouse from 6 to 8. You can get a plate for $1, or you can feed a family of four or more for $30. So it's pretty good deal. And we also have the raffle baskets out that all of the teams put together so that we can raise money for Cartersville Little League. And those raffle baskets, you can get tickets, one for five, three for 10, or 10 for 20 tonight or tomorrow. Then tomorrow's opening day ceremonies, we have already moved to Cartersville First Baptist Church to start at 10 a.m. And then weather pending will determine if we start games at 11:45 or if we have to push those games back a day.
Very good. So a lot of weather possibilities coming in here. So we want to make sure everybody's safe. And we've got about 30 seconds here, Allison. Before our first commercial break, tell us a little bit about what kinds of things we can see in some of those baskets.
We got some really good baskets. We have a cookout basket this year that's an actual charcoal grill with everything you need for charcoal. We have spa baskets. We have a lottery basket that's just full of lottery tickets. We have an around town basket that's just gift cards from all of the local restaurants and shops downtown. There's a pool basket with everything that you need for a day at the pool. So our team moms and those families work really hard to get those baskets together, and they're ranging from anywhere between $250 in value to $1,800 in value.
Well, we'll get back to some more of that and talk a little bit more with Allison Rutledge and Andy Burris from Cartersville Little League Baseball when we get back to Bartow Sports Zone.
Hey folks, this is Sean from St. Angelo's Pizza next to Lake Point Sports. Nothing goes better with bracketology and March basketball than a hot pizza, delicious wings, and our award-winning knots. Check out our tournament winner and pizza of the month, the Pesto St. Angelo, for only $9.99. And for you wing lovers, you know wings aren't just for football anymore. They're the foundation of any good basketball party, and we have our own Sweet 16 flavors to choose from. So come watch with us on Old Allatoona Road or order online at stangelos.com. That's stangelos.com.
Elite Stone Supply can meet all your needs for outdoor lawn supplies and power equipment. But did you know they repair and service small engines? From string trimmers to lawn mowers, Elite has experience, tools, and service to keep your equipment running. Elite Stone Supply, with Husqvarna mowers and everything you need to keep your property in great shape this season. 9 Baker Road and Joe Frank Harris Parkway, just north of Cartersville, across from Racetrack. Online at EliteStoneSupply.net.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome back to Bartow Sports Zone. We're visiting with Allison Rutledge of Cartersville Little League, along with Andy Burris, as they tell us a little bit about what's going on this weekend with Cartersville Little League Baseball. We'll have lots of action for you out there in the ATCO area. And Allison, I wanted to come to you right away and let you talk about this year's sponsors for Cartersville Little League.
Yes, this year we have 27 Grand Slam sponsors. I'm just going to run through that list real quick. It's All Weather Heating and Air, Andy Burris State Farm, Certainty Home Lending, Fine Orthodontics, Coconuts Ice Cream, Foreign Attorneys and Partners, Full Circle Insurance Group, Gammon McFall and Villareal, GF Willis Realty, Glenda Mitchell Law Firm, Graham Commercial Contractors, H&R Block TJ Maneri, Happy by Rachel, Harry Daniel Insurance, Hot Works, John Morosco Law Firm, Marshall's Handyman, Matthews Kia, Owen Security, Pritchard Injury Firm, ProLaw Landscape Services, Robert Laura Chrysler Dodge Jeep and Ram, Scott Barbecue, JL Supply and Fab, Southern Machine and Fabrication, Wealth EMP, and Womack Custom Home.
Very good, and you got through that very quickly. You said that you would, and you made it just fine. Andy, let's turn over to you now. I know that there's some big deals going on to talk about with Cartersville Little League, including a recognition of the 2023 state championship teams tomorrow.
Right. So last year we had two teams win the state, the intermediate bunch. They were the 13-year-olds. They beat an Augusta team. They were dominant really throughout their district and the state. Really good group of 12-year-olds and went on to win as 13-year-olds. And then we also had our 8-year-old group, our current nines, but as 8-year-olds, they won it. They beat Warner Robins, I believe, last year. And that 8-year-old group might be our best class at Little League right now. Those kids are, they're current nines now. They are phenomenal, though. They're very deep. and fun class to watch. So pretty big deal to beat the teams that these guys beat. And we're excited to see what they can do in the future.
Sure. Renovations. I know there's been some work that's been done, Andy, on the Joe Frank Harris Field.
So, yes, sir. So, Joe Frank Harris, we are, for those of you that have been at the ballpark, Rudy York Field is kind of our show pony field. We have mirrored Joe Frank Harris now to Rudy York. And the city poured in some funds there to the ballpark, which was amazing and a lot of help. And Allison, correct me, who do we, Bartow Fence working on the fencing for us? Who's doing the fencing?
Jay Ferrazzo from Bartow Fence, and the new director at Cardinal Parks and Rec, Steve Roberts, had a big hand in helping get that passed through city and council so that we could redo Joe Frank Harris Field. So Cardinal Parks and Rec is thankful for that as well.
Always
Joe
wonderful.
Frank looks incredible right now too, Charles. It's awesome.
Yeah, always wonderful that the community comes together to help support Little League baseball. And I'll just kind of toss this out there for both of you. I know that Little League is truly a volunteer organization. You've got coaches, umpires, field staff, team moms, reps, all of those folks that are involved. Talk a little bit about the volunteerism that's a part of Little League baseball.
We've got 8 major league teams, 10 minor league teams, 10 rookie league teams. That's 28 managers. And then, of course, the managers have 2 or 3 coaches involved as well in the dugout. So we've got over 100 guys, 100 people managing these kids and coaching these kids. And it's just about every night out there at Little League, probably 5 or 6 nights a week. Team moms for every team. It's funny, I've got a parent volunteer sheet where I've had some of my parents volunteer to help rake the fields, keep the scorebook, keep the scoreboard, you know, et cetera. So it is, when we say volunteer based, it is absolutely, a whole lot of people out there volunteering, putting a helping hand in to make Little League run.
Allison, I know you had some comments there.
I was just going to say it takes about 150 to 175 volunteers to run Cartersville Little League every season, from when we start in February for practice until we get done in June or July through our tournament season.
Outstanding. Jackson, jump in here with a question to these folks with Cartersville Little League.
Good morning, guys. And I'll say, as just a community member, it's great that we've got volunteers like you guys that step up and help our young men play the game of baseball. How many kids do you think, I know you can't give me an exact number, but an approximate number, how many kids you got involved in the Little League program at Cartersville this year?
This year we have 336 kids in our Little League, and then we also have a junior and senior league that'll start up March 25th, and right now we have about 35 kids in that league.
Andy, tell us a little bit about the length of the schedule, local playoffs, and then tournament teams.
Sure. So the major league schedule this year, we've got 17 games. We actually have some inter-squad stuff scheduled with some Rockmart too. So really maybe 18 games for some of the teams. Then we get into the tournament schedule there in late May, a double elimination. And then from there, you know, we pick up with the tournament teams there in All-Stars, which, mid June, it varies with the 10s, 11 and 12s, but it's going to be, mid June, mid July will be the district, and then the state tournaments for the tournament teams that we have.
And Allison, we'll wrap this up with you just a few seconds here, but camps that go on during the season and year-round with Cartersville Little League.
So we start our year off with a New Year's camp. That was very successful. We just offered a pitching camp last weekend with Sam Howard. He did a phenomenal job there. And then we won't offer anything else until the fall. We normally do a fall camp that lasts a few days for the kids who don't play football to get them out of the house and get a baseball going in their hand.
That's Allison Rutledge and Andy Burris from Cartersville Little League Baseball. They'll kick things off tonight and tomorrow, and we hope you'll get out there and check them out. It's time for some news. We'll be back with BSC.
Do you see yourself traveling, working part-time, or moving someplace warmer when you retire? Derek Strange, your Cartersville Edward Jones financial advisor, wants to help make your retirement goals a reality. He can help you figure out where you are today and how to get where you expect to be. Working together, you can plan for what you want and be ready to take on anything unexpected along the way. Call Derek at 770-386-4545 or visit edwardjones.com to get started today. Edward Jones, member SIPC. Sponsors of the Elite Athletes of the Month, Elite Stone Supply at Baker Road at US 41 North is your local authorized Husqvarna dealer. See Elite for all your landscaping needs and check out the inventory of mowers, tillers, trimmers, and blowers. Need pine straw, mulch, sand, topsoil, rocks, or landscaping boulders? How about cultured or natural stone? Elite delivers with tons of options. Across from Racetrack, just north of Cartersville, on Facebook and at EliteStoneSupply.net.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome back to Bartow's Sports Zone on your Friday morning. We want to thank our guests in the opening half hour this morning, Allison Rutledge and Andy Burris from Cartersville Little League Baseball. We want to thank them for joining us in the early segment this morning. And we get ready for more of BSC with our fine guest, Mr. Kyle Sandy of sandyspill.com, Georgia's top high school basketball analyst. Good morning, Kyle.
Good morning, Charles. How are you doing?
Very well, thank you. Glad to have you back with us this morning. Welcome back to the Zone and Bartow Sports Zone on WBHF. A third straight week for Kyle with BSZ, keeping us up to date on all of the GHSA State Tournament action. We're always grateful to hear Kyle's insight and his take on basketball in the state of Georgia. And Kyle, before I turn you loose this morning, we were talking a little bit about the general trends of tournament action so far. And I had noted that following along with you, I've seen a lot of low scoring basketball games so far this year in the state finals.
Yeah, it feels like that happens quite often once we get to this stage, just the backdrop of the Macon Centerplex. Teams not typically used to shooting in arena type settings, and I'm sure defense does play a factor. A couple of these games did see a good defense, but the outside shooting and just overall high scoring outputs just haven't been there yet so far. North Oconee was able to break free. They only scored 65 points, but that's still a solid amount, and they hit 9 threes. But other than that, yes, we've seen a little bit more of low scoring games, nothing in the 80s or even the high 70s quite yet.
Let's make sure that all of our listeners know how to get to all of your high school basketball content. I know it's a tremendous amount of information that's out there via sandyspill.com and also with your Twitter feed or X feed, if you will. Let's give you an opportunity to share with everyone how we find your information. And then before we forget about it, let's also let you promote your player showcase that's coming up later on this month.
Yes, sir. On Twitter or X, as you mentioned, it is now called KyleSandy355. I am posting live updates from all the state championships here in Macon all throughout the week. You can also find some highlights on Instagram at Sandy Spiel. And then, of course, my website, sandyspiel.com. And March 17th, Sandy Spiel Spring Showcase, individual player camp for girls at 10 a.m. and boys at 4 p.m. An opportunity to play in front of some college coaches, invited a lot of them out for that. Break down into some drill work and skill work, and then we will separate the players into teams and get some gameplay. So a lot of action able to be had before dumping all the way into travel ball season, March 17th. More information on the Sandy Spiel Spring Showcase at sandyspiel.com. The deadline to register is March 15th, so looking forward to hosting some great prospective student athletes that are trying to play at the next level.
Well, speaking of action, I know we're now in the state championship games that begin on Wednesday night, and we may have to spill part of this, Kyle, over beyond that first commercial break with you, but talk a little bit about, let's give you the floor and let you talk about some of the best performances in last weekend's state semifinals, and then maybe ease into some of the championship games that were played earlier in the week.
Yes, so in the final four round, I think one of the exceptional performances that we saw, especially on the boys' side, was Dominic Eason. Now, Toombs County, they just lost just the other day in the state championship. But Dom Eason, I think he's the most explosive player in the state of Georgia. He had a really big performance against Butler in the final four round. He went for 21 points, had 17 points in the first half to really carry Toombs County. You saw Jakari Harris over at Grayson flirt with the triple-double, and we would be remiss if we did not mention the great Ace Bailey at McEachern, the Rutgers signee. He's been going crazy all postseason, averaging over 32.5 points and 15.5 rebounds per game. He was right on those numbers in a win over Wheeler at Georgia State, pouring in 32 points, 15 rebounds, and 3 blocks. So if you get a chance to watch Ace Bailey play, McEachern is playing Grayson in the state championship, 7:30 on Saturday. Yours truly will be on the NFHS broadcast calling the game. Go ahead and watch Ace Bailey play, because he is a future pro and he has an opportunity to do the incredible and somehow knock off Grayson. It should be a great matchup.
Talking about state championship games and what have you, as we began the week, we've already had quite a few title games played.
Yes, we have. We started off with Class A Division II. Saw Green Forest sweep that classification. Green Forest girls beat Montgomery County. Green Forest boys beat Manchester. Blowouts in both of those. I think the most exciting one on that first day was Baldwin girls. They were down 16 points to Hardaway, 27-11 in the third quarter. They came storming back. The Bravettes won the championship, 47-39. They closed that game on an 11-0 run. And lastly, on that day one, to summarize, North Oconee topped Holy Innocents for their first ever state title. Coach Rick Rasmussen got the job done. They went on a big 14-0 run to go ahead by 11 points and held off Caleb Wilson, who had a terrific game for Holy Innocents. But the Titans got big performances from everybody on that roster, 9 threes as a team, and the freshman, Justin Wise, really cementing himself as one of the top prospects in the state of Georgia. 2027 kid with 19 points, hit 5 huge threes throughout that contest.
Well, let's ease into our first break in this segment with Kyle, and when we come back, we'll talk more about the state championship games that have been played and take a look into this weekend's action.
Hey folks, this is Sean from St. Angelo's Pizza next to Lake Point Sports. Nothing goes better with Bracketology and March basketball than a hot pizza, delicious wings, and our award-winning knots. Check out our tournament winner and pizza of the month, the Pesto St. Angelo, for only $9.99. And for you wing lovers, you know wings aren't just for football anymore. They're the foundation of any good basketball party, and we have our own Sweet 16 flavors to choose from. So come watch with us on Old Allatoona Road or order online at stangelos.com. That's stangelos.com.
Man, I loved playing high school sports growing up. And it's fun being a fan now, don't get me wrong, but sitting in the stands feels like I'm missing out on all the action, you know? I wanted to get back in the game, so I signed up to be a high school official. It takes me back to my playing days. I'm supporting students, and I get paid to make the big calls. Do you want to see the game up close? Sign up to become an official in Georgia at highschoolofficials.com.
Been life in the fast lane with Kyle Sandy for the last 3 weekends here on Bartow Sports Zone. Kyle is our high school basketball analyst statewide, and in my opinion, the best in the state of Georgia, covering all of these state championship games this week and carrying us through the high school tournament season. And Kyle, we kind of cut you off there before that last commercial break talking about some of the games that have been played so far. So we'll turn the floor back over to you and let you talk about the games that have been completed and a little bit of a preview about what we have in store for us for the remainder of the weekend with the GHSA state championships.
Yes, sir. Yesterday, Class 2A saw a pair of teams three-peat as state champs. The Mount Perrin girls defeated Josie 59-52 to claim their third straight title. But the crazy thing in this game was Mount Perrin, they did not score a field goal for the last six-plus minutes in the fourth quarter. It was all free throws. They were 23 of 40 from the foul line and shot 12 of 24 from the free throw line in the fourth quarter alone. So it was just a slow death for Josie, seeing Mount Perrin go to the foul line, go to the foul line, go to the foul line, and what was a really good physical game. But crazy that field goals just did not come easy for either team. But field goals did come easy for Westside Augusta, who captured their third straight title. They defeated Toombs County 64-29, jumped out on the Bulldogs 10-0, and never really looked back. A very balanced attack that saw 11 players score for Westside. The co-ed three-point contest, North Hall captured that. Commerce got second place, Tryon and Lowndes third and fourth place. And then in Class 5A, Maynard Jackson, for a fourth time, defeated Midtown 58-44 to capture their first state title. And lastly, to wrap up the action from yesterday, Kell, they repeated as state champs 62-51. Over Eagles Landing.
Great look at what has been so far. And I know we've got plenty of other state championship action coming our way both this evening and tomorrow. So kind of give us a preview of what's out there in the future.
Today at the Centerplex, Class 3A, Hebron Christian versus Wesleyan on the girls' side. That was a matchup that everyone pretty much assumed would happen. The two private school powerhouses playing for a state championship. Hebron, of course, won the title last year. They beat Wesleyan last year 65-58 in the Final Four. Now Wesleyan, they will try and surprise people behind Chit Chat Wright and then Brianna Preston. Going to be tough to beat a talented team like Hebron, but that is going to be a fun matchup to watch. And then you have a Goliath, David versus Goliath. You got Sandy Creek trying to win their second straight state title, but Jonathan Savannah, they're 20-11 overall. They were unranked heading into the state tournament, but Coach Chuck Campbell's team, they run through a brick wall for him, and they play exceptionally hard. Fabian Kirkwood is a kid to watch, a junior that has really come on strong. 6A closes out the day today. Marist girls, who shocked River Ridge in the Elite Eight, they came from down 11 points in the fourth quarter. You can't let one player beat you. Well, Kate Harpring did that and beat River Ridge. She had 47 points in a 72-69 win. And now Marist sees North Forsyth, who is 31-0, trying to complete a perfect season. So two teams that play great defense. Don't be surprised if that is a low-scoring matchup. Lastly, today, Alexander, they will try for a second straight state title behind Braden Liu, the Kennesaw State signee, who's been tremendous last year and this year as well. 6'8", does everything on the floor. They're going up against the 4 seed out of Region 4, Riverwood, but that doesn't mean anything because Riverwood's been in the top 10 all season long. They have a dynamic backcourt between J.R. Leonard and Karis Bilal, who is signed to play at Vanderbilt. Both of those guys average roughly 25 points per game. They are shot makers, electrifying scores, and if the shots are dropping for that backcourt of Riverwood, they have enough to upset Alexander. It will be tough, but it will be fun to watch.
And hey, lastly, Kyle, I'll interrupt you here for just a second. I want to ask you a question.
Yes,
since we've gone to the 32-team bracket, how many 4 seeds have won a state title?
Ooh, it's not
you probably don't know
often.
The exact number, but have there been any?
I'm not sure. I mean, I know we see 4 seeds that take good runs, and sometimes exactly what happened with Riverwood, you fumble and you screw up and you lose 2 games in the state tournament, but that doesn't or in the region tournament, that definitely doesn't erase just how good those teams are in the regular season. So we have seen some Cinderella stories before, and Riverwood's trying to see if the glass slipper still fits tonight.
Let's let you squeeze in a quick preview of tomorrow's championship games.
Yes, sir. Class A, Division One, St. Francis girls versus Galloway, a rematch of last year's state championship game that St. Francis won 76-74 in overtime. These are two region foes, and Region 6, St. Francis has so much size and firepower. They are the expected to win. They are the favorite, but Tiana Thompson and Taryn Thompson, very tough for Galloway. And then another Region 6, all Region 6 championship on the boys' side, Mount Vernon trying to get over the hump and beat Paideia. Paideia beat them earlier this year, but then Mount Vernon crushed them in the region championship, and Mount Vernon is absolutely rolling. And then to put a bow and a ribbon on everything, Class 7A, Grayson girls embarking on a perfect season, 31-0. They play North Paulding, who they beat 75-37 at the Sandy Spiel Showcase this December. So these two teams are familiar with one another. Danielle Carnegie is the best player in the state of Georgia, signed to play at Georgia Tech. She's been phenomenal. So Coach Tim Slater trying to capture his second state title in his career. And then we finish up with the Grayson boys. Joffrey Pierce trying to claim his first. The Rams, they defeated McEachern in the very first game of the season, 79-62. A lot has changed since then. Ace Bailey has been on a tear for McEachern. If Grayson wants to capture that elusive first title, they are going to have to do everything in their power to make sure Ace Bailey does not light that gym on fire with his firepower. It's going to be exciting.
Well, we can't wait. Kyle, you got 10 seconds. Tell us how to find your material.
SandySpiel.com and on Twitter, where you will find updates all throughout this week. KyleSandy355.
You are the man. Thank you so much, Kyle Sandy of SandySpiel.com. And we'll be back with BSC.
To win in sports, you need to adjust your strategy as the game changes. The same is true of investments. Derek Strange, your Cartersville Edward Jones financial advisor, can help you create a game plan for your financial goals. He'll help you look at the big picture and help you plan for your future. Call Derek at 770-386-4545 or visit edwardjones.com to get started today. Edward Jones, member SIPC. Keep your property in top-notch shape this season with a new Husqvarna mower from Elite Stone Supply. With all your residential and commercial mower needs, Elite has zero-turn and riding models in all price levels. Check out the robotic mowers, too. Come explore all the Husqvarna mower options at Elite Stone Supply. Across from Racetrack at 9 Baker Road, just north of Cartersville on US 41. Call 770-387-3007 on Facebook and online at EliteStoneSupply.net.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome back to Bartow Sports Zone on WBHF in Cartersville. So glad to have you with us this morning as we cruise into hour number two of BSC. We're brought to you by Elite Stone Supply, three-way campers, St. Angelo's Pizza at Lake Point, and Derek Strange, your local Edward Jones investment advisor. We want to thank our guests in the opening hour this morning, Allison Rutledge and Andy Burris from Cartersville Little League Baseball. And then, of course, we thank Kyle Sandy of SandySpiel.com for giving us our weekly dose here lately of the high school basketball state tournament action and a preview on today and tomorrow's games down in Macon, as we wrap up the GHSA basketball season for 2023 and 2024. Next week, we'll give you a little bit of a heads up. We'll have a couple of baseball coaches for you on Bartow Sports Zone in the opening hour. Mike Jeeks of Excel Christian Academy. They brought back baseball at Excel. He will be one of our guests, along with Billy Roper of the Adairsville Tigers. So we look forward to catching up on some high school baseball with those two local coaches as we begin to wind down our schedule with Bartow Sports Zone for this season. As you know, we go August through March of each year, so only about three more shows after this week with Bartow Sports Zone in the 2024 spring season. Speaking of spring seasons, let's talk a little bit about some of the local high school action in soccer over the past few days, and just kind of give you a rundown of where those teams stand right now. On the girls' side, the Cartersville Lady Canes are currently at 4-4 on the year. They lost at Johns Creek on Tuesday. They play their region opener at Woodland tonight, and we'll have coverage over on BartowSportsZone.com. That is a 5:30 kickoff today for Cartersville and Woodlands girls. The Adairsville Lady Tigers are 6-2 on the year. They're now 1-0 in Region 6 AAA. They beat Lafayette 10-0 on Tuesday. They are at Ridgeland tonight for a 5 p.m. kickoff. We mentioned the Woodland Lady Cats. They beat Coosa 10-0 on Wednesday, and they will be hosting Cartersville this evening at 5:30. The Lady Cats are 4-0 on the early season in soccer. And the Cass Lady Colonels are the fourth team. They lost at home Tuesday to Dalton. They will be at home, or rather were scheduled to be at home last night against Cahulla Creek. We still don't have a result on that one for us. We'll try to get that out there for you. They are currently 3-4, we believe, on the season. On the boys' side, the Cartersville Hurricanes are 2-6 on the year. They lost at Johns Creek on Tuesday night. They, too, play their region opener at Woodland tonight. The Adairsville Tigers are at 1-3-2 on the year. They are at Ridgeland tonight at 7:30. Woodland is the highest-ranked boys' soccer team in our community right now. They are 6-0 on the year. They beat Coosa 7-0 on Wednesday night. They are the number 5 team in Class 5A. They will be hosting Cartersville tonight as both of those teams have their region openers. And the Cass Colonels pulled off the big upset earlier in the week. They beat number 1 Dalton 1-0 on Tuesday night at Cochran Stadium. They are 7-1-1 on the year. They were scheduled to take on Cahulla Creek last night. We hope to get those results for you as well. But a fast start for all of our soccer teams as they get into the mid-season stretch now as start playing region games in both 6 AAA and 7-5A. Track and field, they're off to a quick start as well. Last Saturday at the Cartersville Hurricane Invitational, the Cartersville boys were 3rd, Woodland boys were 6th, the Cartersville girls were 7th, and the Woodland girls were 11th in a 15-team event. Zachary Wiggins of Woodland won the 300-meter hurdles in that big meet. Will Feuerbach of Cartersville won the 800-meter run for Cartersville. Adairsville and Cass were at the Southeast Whitfield Invitational. Cass girls were 2nd at that meet. The Adairsville boys were 4th of 11 teams in that particular meet. Caitlin Godwin of Cass won the 100, 200, and 400-meter dashes. She was also on the winning 4x100 relay team. And Alaya McBride of Adairsville won the 100-meter hurdles and the high jump. They were the only local multiple event winners at the Southeast Whitfield Invitational. So, Jackson, I'll take a breather here and ask you, have you been able to catch any soccer or track and field action?
I was able to watch a little bit of a Cass soccer game a week ago. Kind of went back and forth between a baseball and soccer game. And speaking of soccer, I'm not a huge follower, but I can tell you with the Woodland boys and the Cass boys, of course, the Dalton boys in that particular region, that's going to be a fun season, fun region season to pay attention to. You know, the Dalton's the defending state champion and number 1 in the state. Cass was able to knock them off at home, so it's going to be there'll be some good matches coming up in that region in soccer.
Yeah, and of course, you know, rankings are rankings, and we say that in every sport. And of course, Dalton was preseason ranked the number 1 team. They've carried that through the first 3 weeks of the year, but then Cass able to knock them off 1-0 earlier this week. And of course, the Woodland Wildcats off to probably the best start in that program's history. And they will carry a 6-0 record into their meeting tonight with Cartersville. And of course, Cartersville, Calhoun, Dalton, and of course, the other two local teams. They've been able to have some success in recent years on the soccer pitch, and we'll follow that with BartowSportsZone.com and try to keep you updated as the season moves along. Let's take our next time out, and we'll be back with more of our local update.
Hey folks, this is Sean from St. Angelo's Pizza next to Lake Point Sports. Nothing goes better with bracketology and March basketball than a hot pizza, delicious wings, and our award-winning knots. Check out our tournament winner and pizza of the month, the Pesto San Angelo, for only $9.99. And for you wing lovers, you know wings aren't just for football anymore. They're the foundation of any good basketball party, and we have our own Sweet 16 flavors to choose from. So come watch with us on Old Alatoona Road or order online at stangelos.com. That's stangelos.com.
Good morning, friends. Welcome back to Bartow Sports Zone. Charles Wilson here, along with Alan Sanders, back in the WBHF studios. David Coleman and Jackson Hyde on the Zoom connection with me this morning. We were carrying you through the local high school sports update from our community. We talked a little bit about soccer and track and field. Failed to mention the upcoming schedule. Tomorrow, Cartersville is at the Carrollton Invitational in track and field. Woodland is at the Woodstock Wolverine Invitational. Cass is at the Creekview Invitational in Canton. Next week, Cartersville will run in a meet at Kennesaw Mountain, and there will also be a home meet hosted by Cartersville that will include Cass. And then the following weekend, Cartersville heads to the Marietta Blue Devil Relays. Woodland will be at the Rome Invitational, and Cartersville at the Gordon Central Warrior Invitational. So that kind of gives you a look at the week ahead for track and field. Tennis, we get some sporadic updates occasionally with BartowSportsZone.com from our tennis coaches in the community. We invite you to follow all of that action on BartowSportsZone.com as we post those results as they come in. And we'll talk a little bit about baseball now. Cartersville, 8-3 now on the season. They were the number one ranked team in Class 5A. But lost 3 of 4 at the Perfect Game High School Showdown over in Hoover last weekend. Nothing to hang your head about. That's some of the highest level competition you can play in the entire U.S. of A. They did shut out Rockmart 2-0 at home on Wednesday. They're at home today against Adairsville, weather permitting, at Adairsville tomorrow in a home-and-home series. And they open up with a Region 7-5A series next week against Calhoun. Adairsville 4-3 on the year. They are in the midst of a home and home, with Sonoraville earlier in the week. They now will take on Cartersville in a home and home today and tomorrow, weather permitting. They have a home and home with Tryon next week, and then a home doubleheader with Jones County on March the 16th. The Cass Colonels, 6-4 on the year so far. They beat visiting Campbell last night, 8-4. They shut out Central of Carroll on Wednesday night, 5-0. They are at Cahulla Creek today. Next week at Rockmart on Monday. Home against Lafayette on Thursday and at Campbell on Friday. Woodland is 7-3. I believe they've won 4 in a row now. They won at Wheeler on Monday. They beat Sonoraville in a come-from-behind win last night, 7-3. They are home against Campbell on Saturday, and then they have a Region 7-5A three-game series with Dalton that begins next week. And, of course, we mentioned that we'll have Mike Jinks on the show next week from Excel Christian. They're 2-0. They've been rained out much of the week, but they are scheduled today to take on Cross Point Christian Academy out of Pike County. And, of course, the Excel Eagles are playing their games out at the park in U-Harley this season. So we hope that they'll be able to get back into action, weather permitting, today as they take on Cross Point Christian Academy. So they are back in action in baseball with Excel Christian Academy, their first team in a while. So that kind of catches you up on all of the local high school sports that are going on this spring. And we try to do that periodically here with Bartow Sports. Want to bring the guys back in now and talk a little bit about an article that was in the Atlanta Journal-Constitution earlier this week. It brought up some interesting discussion points on the Georgia High School Football Championship games, and I'll kind of run through some of that for you and then get some takes from our guys. The 16 GHSA football championship teams this year earned 54% less on average this past December by the state moving the games back to the Mercedes-Benz Stadium. That's compared to the year before playing at, I guess it's called Center Park Stadium there at Georgia State, the old Turner Field, if you will. So according to Todd Holcomb's report in the AJC that came out earlier this week, Mercedes-Benz got $582,500 of the event's $983,800 in revenue. So that's well more than half of that went to the stadium. Attendance for the 3 days was right around 50,000. The attendance at Center Park Stadium this year, or the year before, was 47,900. So very equivalent numbers there, if you will, as far as the number of people who were in attendance. But because of the cost of the facility, a pretty huge drop in the amount of income that went out to the 16 teams that participated in the state championship game. There were some mixed reviews. Jackson, I'll turn to you first. Some kind of mixed reviews from the different coaches. They like to talk about the opportunity to play in that kind of environment, but then there were also some takes that they'd rather see games played on the school campuses.
Yeah, me being an old school, if you will, guy, I obviously would love to see games played at home fields. I see the economic impact of having them in a central location for TV viewing and fan participation and things of that nature. I think it is the environment is a big draw to play in the dome where the Falcons play and use those locker rooms and facilities is a big deal. I get that side of it, but it's to have them back at the home stadiums to me, if from a football fan standpoint, would be awesome.
The payout is 12% to GHSA before expenses, so GHSA actually made more money by having it at Mercedes-Benz. The schools received 17.5% down to 8%, depending on the classification. Adding some video review added cost, as did, of course, inflation. And then just the different opinions that are out there. David, 30 seconds. You got a quick take on this, where they should be played?
Well, I mean, I think you should ask the kids. I don't know if that's possible, but I would think they would prefer to play in Mercedes-Benz. I know I played some championship games in neutral site like that, and we were very excited to go to that type of venue where no one had a home field advantage, and you felt special because you were doing something special. So that would be where I'd fall.
Yeah, and that's kind of the take that coaches had. Some of the coaches talking about giving up the financial side of it just for the opportunity for the kids to be in that kind of venue and environment. We'll take a timeout and be back with more of Bartow Sports Zone.
Whether you love them or can't stand them, surprises are part of life. Derek Strange, your Cartersville Edward Jones financial advisor, can help you get ready for whatever life throws your way. He'll work with you to meet your changing needs and to help you end up where you want to be. And while there's never a good time to experience unexpected costs, Derek can help make them feel a little less unexpected. For an appointment, call Derek Strange at 770-386-4545, Edward Jones, member SIPC.
Hi, this is Charles Wilson of BartowSportsZone.com, inviting you to join us each Friday morning from 7:10 to 9 a.m. for the Bartow Sports Zone radio show. We'll interview local coaches, visit with sports personalities, and discuss the hot topics in the world of sports. So join the Bartow Sports Zone team Friday mornings on WBHF and keep up with your local sports news at BartowSportsZone.com.
Welcome back, everybody, to the Bartow Sports Zone Show here on WBHF. I'm Charles Wilson, your host. I have Jackson Hyde and David Coleman, along with now Brad Stevens on the Zoom connection, and Alan Sanders back in the WBHF studios. And I do want to welcome in Brad Stevens joining us on the Zoom connection. Good morning, Brad.
Good morning, Charles. Glad to be with y'all. I'm on the road. I got work to do this morning, so I'm on the way to Atlanta, so just bear with me.
Yeah, you got work to do with us too. We're going to get to that in just a second. Glad to have you back, and it's always good to hear from Brad Stevens. I want to talk a little bit this morning about the face and the nature of college athletics. It keeps evolving and changing as we speak. Talk a little bit about some of the news that's come up with all of that recently. College sports in recent years and days has kind of been walking a tightrope of treating college athletes as employees. Earlier in the week, the Dartmouth men's basketball team voted to unionize. The university is fighting the regional leadership of the National Labor Relations Board, who claims that the athletes are employees. And of course, they're fighting that just a little bit. One of the players acting as a spokesperson for the players said, and I quote here, "It's time for the age of amateurism to end. We can clearly be students and employees of the university at the same time." So, Brad, I'm going to jump to you first. We were talking about this during the news break. Is the age of amateurism in jeopardy with college athletics?
I don't think it's in jeopardy, Charles. I think it's gone. It's already done. There's no way you could go back now after this. I'm wondering now, honestly, if people will retroactively sue for all the years they didn't get paid with guys before this. I mean, I wouldn't be surprised to see something like that happen. You read Nick Saban's comments earlier this week that he made when he was hanging it up, that, you know, he's talking to these guys and all they want to know is, am I going to play or not? Because I'm going to transfer if no, and how much am I going to get paid? And he's decided that that's just not for him. And you're going to see a lot of things change, man. I mean, that's a big blanket statement, of course, but it will never go back to the way it was before. And amateurism is gone. I don't believe there's any way that they can stop it now. If you put limits on this thing, there's going to be lawsuits. And if you start declaring people employees, you know, everything changes. And you've got workers' comp. You've got all these legal issues that you've got to work through. It will never be like it was before.
David, there's a similar case out in California with the regional NLRB claiming unfair labor practices against USC and the Pac-12 conference, saying that the university and the conference were joint employers. I'll come to you next. You know, you've got other cases in Tennessee and Virginia that are challenging the NCAA's authority in rules and regulations on the NIL, name, image, and likeness rules. So where are we headed with amateurism with college athletics?
Yeah, well, that word's a bit of a canard in and of itself, because when you sign a scholarship, there was remuneration for your efforts, and they told you what classes you could take, what classes you couldn't take, and where you had to be, and blah, blah, blah. They controlled your time, and there were consequences if you didn't meet their timetable. So it's just an acceleration of what has been around for quite some time. It's just now that cash is going to change hands above the table. There'll have to be a governing body of some sort. It'll probably have to be federal. It's not good. They've opened Pandora's box. It was going to happen. We all knew it was going to happen even 30 years ago. And here we are.
Jackson, the Olympic Games started allowing professional athletes to compete in 1988. Are the changes in the works for college athletics in our country eliminating amateur status really, I guess, beyond high school?
Yeah, it's I really am at a loss for words for what we've seen in the past few years, and I think what we're evolving into. I see in the future two different levels of sports and college athletics. I think you'll see some schools break off and go with a full professional paid type scenario with their athletes, and I think you'll see a section of colleges and universities just stop NIL altogether and play in their own league. I think you'll have a amateur type league at some point. I think we're seeing it evolve into that now, where you're going to have two separate entities in college athletics, a non-paid and a paid, and it's going to be interesting. I mean, you can look at, I know Ole Miss here in the past month has hired basically what they're calling a general manager for their football program, where he's the one handling the NIL situations, you know, how that money is distributed, kind of taking that away from the head coaches. So
it's interesting how it's evolving, and I'm not looking forward to the outcome.
Brad, I'll come back to you. I know that Lane Kiffin made some comments earlier this week, speaking of Ole Miss, right after his team's first spring practice of the year. He says the solution is for players to have contracts to stay with a university for 1, 2, or 3 years to receive those NIL funds.
I mean, you have to, I mean, to guarantee any continuity on the team and to help you with recruiting and keep your class intact, yeah, you almost have to do that. And, you know, for someone like me who used to keep up with recruiting, we talked about this off the air, you know, I don't even keep up with it anymore because what's the point? As soon as, you know, they don't get playing time or something doesn't go right, they're out of there. So if you, I agree with the contract statement. If you want to, you know, to forge a team that can win a national championship and not have a bunch of one and dones that, you know, or, you know, hired assassins, basically, that's what you have to do. And that's what will cause the sport to lose fans when you start doing that. You know, when you start having that go on, you will see people like me who have been loyal since day one just start to fall by the wayside.
Yeah, Coach Kiffin, of course, says that would slow down the rapid roster turnover. But I'm not sure, you know, as we ease into this next commercial break, I'm not sure who gets to be part of all of that negotiation. We may come back to this for just a few minutes after the break, and then we'll get to some other topics here on BSC.
I love playing sports, especially for my school. And that's because school sports are special. It's where it's safe to fail. It's where we're taught resilience, where our fear becomes confidence. It's where we learn to get back up after every fall. School sports are where 7.8 million students go from I can't to I can.
This message presented by the GHSA and the Georgia Athletic Directors Association.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome back to Bartow Sports Zone as we cruise into this final segment of this Friday morning for March the 8th on BSC on WBHF. Charles Wilson here along with Brad Stevens, David Coleman, and Jackson Hyde on the Zoom connection. Alan Sanders keeping the ship running back in the WBHF studios. We're talking a little bit before the break about the face and the nature of college athletics, how it keeps changing, and the legal aspects that have become to the forefront here in recent days. Brad, you're our legal expert here with our BSC bench warmers. I wanted to ask you another question about this, and then I'll get a take from some of the other guys. In professional sports, there are players' unions, and that's kind of where Dartmouth has voted to move in that direction with their men's basketball team. We learned about that earlier this week, and it's all in the news. And generally speaking, the veteran players who are securing their status or whatever are the bargainers, are the leaders in those negotiations. So my question would be, if we go to this format with college athletics, who's going to bargain for the college players when they're only in that system for maybe 4 years, maybe 5 years at the most? In such a system, the players ultimately, their ultimate bargaining tool is going to be a strike. Are players going to be willing, with such a short college career, are they going to be willing to strike?
Yeah, well, I mean, it's almost like, you know, if you're going to do that dance, then you're going to have to face the consequences of being that way. I mean, if you want to hold out and get more money, then the university has the right to say, no, we're not going to do that. You're not going to get that money, or we're going to withhold this, or we're going to take away some of your benefits as an employee because you're holding our feet to the fire. I mean, that's the cost of doing business if you want to be like that.
I guess my question is, if you're a college athlete, you're only going to be there for a limited amount of time. Are you going to be willing to give up part of your playing career for the future of your sport?
I would say no. I mean, because, you know, this is all about, is everybody to get what they can get now. I mean, if you want to be the pioneer that sits out and strike professional career later on down the line because you don't have enough tape And your main thing was, you know, sitting out and striking. You know, I don't think anybody's going to want to be that first guy that does that. You know, I understand why the players want to get paid, and I understand why they want to be protected. Because, I mean, I've talked to a lot of guys from different sports who've had a lot of surgeries and problems that were never addressed or taken care of by the university after the fact, and I believe they should be compensated. But, you know, once again, David said Pandora's box is open. Here's where we are. And, you know, I don't know who would bargain for them. I mean, will they unionize and hire an attorney to represent them? That's really the only thing you can do is, like, have the players' union attorney on staff. That's what you'll have to have.
David, we heard a little bit from you during the commercial break about a solution that's been tossed out there.
Yeah. You know, I heard a pundit talking about it, and I couldn't find an argument against it, and that is to just completely adopt the NFL model, or maybe minor league baseball's model, and run it, run the athletic part of it just like a business, and run it just like the NFL. They've got a model. It is successful. The NFL's even more popular than college football. The action on the field shouldn't be hurt. If that model works for the NFL, it should work for college.
Jackson, you're more of my high school connection. How is this filtering down? How is this impacting the high school game?
Well, as you know, Georgia's adopted the NIL here, where high school football players in the state of Georgia are able to be compensated for their name, image, and likeness. And what we're seeing is a lot of these high school seniors are signing agents who will eventually be their agent if they make it to a professional career. But they're able to sign an agent to help them with their marketing contracts and things of that nature. I heard Pat Dye Jr., one of the leading NFL agents, and he's a very honorable, good guy. He says he has college players who call him, say, hey, can you call a certain school and see if I can get more money? He stays out of that side of it, but he has his own division in his company that handles the NIL stuff for his high school, his college athletes. So it's evolved into a professional sport. There's no question about it.
Final minute of our segment and final minute for this week's show. Jackson, I'll start with you. Real quick answer here. Is this progress or are we digressing?
I think we're digressing. I think, you know, maybe the solution I think we're past a true common sense solution, but I think you'll see, like I mentioned earlier, two separate leagues in college athletics where you have a paid athletes and non-paid athletes.
Brad, progress or digress?
I got to go progress for the players, but digress as a fan. I don't think I would watch the product as it's evolving right now. Eventually, when it comes down to it, I would probably just be a casual fan from now on.
David, you get the final answer, progress or digress?
Well, I mean, you have to call it progress because we are moving into the future. So, but, you know, it's not going to affect me as far as the product on the field. As long as that product on the field is not overtly hurt. We all thought free agency was going to kill football, baseball.
Sorry, David, we got to go. Thanks for joining us this week on Barco Sports Show.